Love Spell for the Already Departed by Hippo Fox. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Toonimated. Four days, 7 hours, 56 minutes and 6 seconds. The time until your wedding, when they put your fiancé's dead body in the ground, morning dew soaking into the hem of your dress pants, standing stiff-backed and blank-faced on the cemetery lawn. 4 days, 7 hours, 56 minutes and 5 seconds. The amount of time you've given yourself to get her back. No! The blood wielder sits in your carriage with his arms crossed. You sit across from him, refusing to put the resurrection scroll back in your pocket. Come on, man. You just found out that you have life-changing powers. Don't you want to use them? He scoffs. For the guy who just sicked the city guard on me? Fuck no! You don't bother telling him that that had been a mistake. Yes, you might have used the guards a little to help find him, and yes, you might have sort of implied that he was skirting the blood signature to rent law, but no, you weren't expecting it to result in an elaborate chase scene ending up with him having to hide in your carriage, despite it being extremely fucking convenient. I also just saved you from them. Look, I'm not asking that you do this for free. You see that building? You point out the window, up towards the private district. He peeks out. You mean that eyesore owned by the Striders? I mean my house, yeah? That's your... His eyes nearly pop out of his skull. Wait, you're that rich fuck whose fiancée just... God. Oh. His eyes fall back to the scroll in your hand. You graciously acknowledge this with the tip of your chin. Needless to say, I'm down to drop a truly ludicrous amount of cash on this, basically willing to suck your dick for life, dude. His thick brow furrows further. Hand feeling for something hidden beneath the collar of his shirt, and you throw your hands up. Figuratively, come on. Hopelessly in love with my dead fiancé here, remember? Risking my life consorting with a dangerous blood wielder just to get her back? He bares his teeth at you but glances back at the scroll, seeming to eye it more consideringly. Unless you'd prefer literally, because I will do anything, and I mean anything to get her. He snatches the scroll from you. Give me that. You sit back in your seat and let out a long, held breath. 3 days, 3 hours, 15 minutes, and 2 seconds. Your name is Carcat Vantus, and your life has always been shit. But you've truly reached an impressively catastrophic new low this time. Your shovel hits something other than dirt, with a wooden thunk, and you grimace, setting to work adding grave robber to your lifelong list of dishonorable titles. That list is already depressingly lengthy, but the new ones you're collecting today are particularly insane. Blood wielder. It echoes in your head like an off-kilter harmony to a familiar song. You've always known your blood was some particular kind of fucked. How could you forget? Spending your childhood squirreled away in a back room of a hospital, receiving endless blood transfusions and tests until you were so anemic you were sure the next one would kill you. If it wasn't for her, they'd probably still be torturing you in there. If it wasn't for her, you'd probably be long dead. You touch the locket under your shirt, drawing comfort from its presence, staring up at the stars. Somewhere out there you hope she's safe. You've cleared enough of the dirt to see the ornate carved edges of the lid. Sucking in a breath, you bring the shovel down and hack it open. Even dead, the woman in the coffin is incredibly beautiful. Unsurprising, spouses of the rich and famous usually are. You curse that insufferable prick under your breath as you haul the corpse out of the pit you've dug. You're only doing this because if you didn't go along with this grief-driven delusion of his, he'd probably turn you in. Nearly a decade later, and the hospital was still spending too many resources searching for you, a missing patient with a dangerous, wrong-blooded illness. He probably heard about you from all the missing persons reports over the years and developed this absurd magic power conspiracy from there. You can't go back. You would rip your nails bloody clawing at the ground to keep them from dragging you back. You'd rather die here than decay in that dark little room again. You just fucking hope that Strider nutcase will pay you some of the money if you show him you tried. You lug the corpse over to a roofed pavilion where someone has lit candles in honor of the deceased. Laying her down on the cold marble floor, you fish the scroll out of your back pocket, scowling again as you squint at the writing in the dark. How that rich fuck fell for this crap, you have no idea. This thing doesn't look authentic at all. The paper is brand new, the handwriting all cutesy and green with little circles over the eyes like a schoolgirl's creative writing project. The only thematically appropriate thing about it is the large antique needle pinned to the inside, engraved with skulls, which you withdraw with a grimace. Time to get this bullshit over with, you guys. You breathe in and begin. Blood and bond that binds us to life, hear my call to you. As wielder of blood's bonds, hear my call to you. I, Carcat Vantis, call to you. Jade Harley, by the power of my blood, by the power of our bond, by the power of my life, I call to you. Hear this, with the heat of my heart and the blood of my body. You stab the needle into your index finger with a wince, watching your sickening mutant blood flow. I, Carcat Vantis, you swipe the blood across the gash in her throat, bind myself to you, Jade Harley, and give you life. You set the paper down and stare at the corpse, feeling like a chump. The corpse seconds that opinion by continuing to lie there, being a corpse. Yeah, fuck this, you're getting out of here. Ba-thump. The candles sputter. You wince, grabbing at your chest as your heart gives a heavy pulse. Ow. Are you having a heart attack now, of all fucking times? Something out of the corner of your eye starts to glow. You look back at the corpse. Your blood on her throat casts a sickly light on the underside of her chin. Insanity. You must be seeing things. But you can't help but watch as it gets even weirder. Ba-thump. The blood begins to squirm, moving of its own accord. You feel like this should make you sick, but it doesn't. You can't look away as the blood starts to stretch itself, growing longer and thinner and thinner and thinner until it looks like a fine thread, glowing bright hot and green against her skin. Ba-thump. Your chest keeps doing those weird pulses, radiating through your body and out through your limbs. It feels like it's pulling at you, pulling you towards that thread, pulling you, ba-thump, pulling you, ba-thump, 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 pulling. You touch it. It quivers under your fingertips. Instinctively, your hand twitches, making a small, circular motion. The blood thread straightens taut, then lightning fast, swirls through the broken skin of her throat. Your eyes widen as you watch it pull the wound closed. Ba-thump, 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 you grimace. Hunting over, what the fuck? It feels like your heart is trying to escape the confines of your skin. Your eyes try to drift shut, but you force them to stay open. So you see it when the body shudders and the world goes silent. You feel lightheaded. The torso starts to rise, head lolling back as if pulled throat first. The corpse's eyes open. They roll to the side, looking at you burning a bright green. What have you done?
Jade Harley?
You ask in a tiny voice.
My love. My love.
She breathes over your skin like a caress, and your body trembles.
You did it. Did it.
She sits up, long. Silk, dark hair slipping over her shoulders towards you. You suddenly find that you can't fucking move. Her hands reach out, catching your face. A jolt sizzles through your veins. She smiles, and you're transfixed by the perfectness of that shape, the echoing familiarity of those lips which are getting closer. She kisses you, and it courses through your entire body, so soft, so perfect, so right, except...
Wait!
You gasp, pushing at her. Holy shit, you can't stop her. She pushes you over, knocking you onto your back, her breasts half tumbling out of her dress, press against your chest. She kisses you again. You groan involuntarily at the feel of her straddling your legs, trapping you under her.
You taste so good.
She says against your mouth. I wonder what the rest of you tastes like. Fuck. Her tongue licks into your mouth, questing, feeding, and you suddenly can't remember why you wanted to fight this at all. Except... You twist your face to the side with a gasp, yanking your hands away from her body.
Miss Harley, you have a goddamn fucking fiancé!
I have...
She sits up slightly.
Oh yeah, wait. Dave should be here too, where is he?
You blink up at her, thrown off by the complete change in tone.
His fuck-off monstrosity of a house, probably?
What? But we can't do this without him. How did you even...
She snatches the scroll off the floor, sitting astride your lap. She scans it, then flips it over to the back and scowls, looking around.
But this is just the first page.
What do you mean that's just the first page?
You start to sit up, then collapse back down on your elbows when she still doesn't fucking move. Your body is not getting the she has a goddamn fucking fiancé message, and if she was paying any attention at all, it would be so goddamn fucking obvious, and you do not need goddamn fucking accomplice to adultery added to your list. Not goddamn fucking today, Satan!
I mean, there's more to the ritual, silly. Come on, we have to go find it. And Dave!
She snatches your hand and drags you away before you can even utter a fucking complaint. 2 days, 16 hours, 28 minutes, and 53 seconds, and there's a knock on your door. You nearly rip it off its hinges, swinging it open. The bloodwielder stands there, covered in dirt and out of breath, holding the hand of someone wearing a long hooded cloak. The bloodwielder's cloak and no shoes. You'd recognize those toes anywhere. 2 days, 16 hours, 28 minutes, and the clock stops. And so does your heart. Much the way that it did when you found her dead. You grab her by the hand, her free hand, alive, colder than usual, and shove a bag of money comically large against the bloodwielder's chest.
Pleasure doing illicit business with you!
You pull Jade into your arms and slam the door. 2 days, 16 hours, 28 minutes, and 10 seconds. The time until your wedding.
Wait!
Both you and Jade cry as Strider yanks you apart. The door slams in your face and you blink. Huh. You don't know why you said that. You look down at the comically large bag of money you're now holding, peeking inside the drawstring opening. Honestly, that fucker actually came through. You turn away from the door. Well, okay. That was fucking weird. You can do magic, apparently. Fuck. This better not come back to haunt you. You start the long trek out of this glittering shit stain of a neighborhood to find somewhere safe to sleep. 2 days, who cares how many hours, she's back. You grasp Jade tightly to yourself, breathing in her scent, which is, okay, it's a little grave dirty right now, but she's fucking back, thank God, because you could not live another second without her.
Dave, I'm so happy to see you, but...
You kiss her. And she makes a sweet little sound against your lips, squeezing your upper arms too tight, then pulls away.
But I need...
You kiss her again. You cannot fucking believe this worked. Well, yes, you can, because they were Jade's notes, and Jade has always been able to do anything, but still. Her notes brought her back from the fucking dead. She leans on you, and you collapse, back against the door, fully on board with wherever this is going. Her hands gentle on your arms, and you pause for breath.
Dave,
she whispers softly. Your name on her alive lips sends an odd shiver down your spine.
Yeah?
You say.
I need Carcat.
And then she collapses in your arms. 2 days, 16 hours, 25 minutes, and 3 seconds.
Shit.
You make it about 2 blocks with your comically large bag of money before a hand grabs your arm and you launch straight into panic mode. You duck low and jab your elbow backwards, hitting stomach. Your assailant groans. You yank out of their hold and break into a run. You don't even bother to look back. Like hell are you letting yourself get mugged or arrested holding this much raw cash?
Bloodwielder! Dude, get back here! Carcat! Jesus, wait!
You skid to a stop in the alley at the sound of your name. What the fuck? Whirling around, you stomp back to where that Strider jackass is standing in the street, holding his stomach.
Where exactly did you get that name from?
You growl.
You have to come back,
he says.
The name, shit for brains! Where did you get it?
She's
not breathing anymore, he says. You grab him by the collar, pulling him nose to nose.
I don't give a shit! Tell me where you got that name!
It's the last thing she said.
His voice cracks on the set. You let him go. He staggers back, then stands there staring at you, failing to straighten out the wrinkles you made in his shirt.
So you'll come back?
He doesn't say it like a question, and you don't bother to answer. You pretend to ignore the way he swipes his wrist quickly under his shades as you stomp back up the street the way you just came. You are so cold. You gasp awake and alive, heat soaking down your limbs from a summer warm point on your shoulder.
Oh, thank Christ!
You hear a voice. You love that voice, but you need that warmth. Hold me, you demand, reaching out to the source. The origin of that delicious heat is stiff in your embrace. You nuzzle into their neck, sighing with pleasure as the need abates just a little.
What in the name of unexpectedly non-foul breakfast are you looking at me like that for, Strider? She's the one who grabbed me!
Your heat source growls.
What the hell kind of dark magic did you do that has her feeling you up like that, bro? The kind that you paid me literal physical money to do?
The need is not truly satisfied. More, you say, working your hands up under his shirt. He yelps, trying and failing to push you back by the shoulders.
Whoa there, honey bun.
Hands grab your wrists, and though instinct says you have plenty of strength to stop him, the love you feel for that voice briefly wins out over the need. You stop.
You know I'm too far under your heel to deny you anything, but do you really gotta feel up the help in the foyer? The help? I'll fucking help you to an early grave, Strider! In fact, I happen to know one that just got freed up. I'd be happy to help escort you there just as soon as your prurient almost wife here tells me how the blistering hell she knows my real name!
You blink. Cockat, you don't remember? Cockat scowls at you, trapped under your legs, shirt rucked up to reveal a patch of warm skin. You wrench your eyes back to his face.
Oh, great! Glad your brain finally decided to join us. Does that mean you'll stop trying to molest me now?
He wince.
I'm sorry, but I think I can't not touch you. I'll just die again, I think, at least until we finish the spell. But I don't really understand why you brought me back if you weren't okay with it. Didn't you and Dave talk about this?
You look up at Dave, who is holding your wrists. He's got his poker face running on extra unreadable.
Talk about what? What's there to talk about? It's just some mumbo-jumbo words and some blood. I get my wife back. He gets rich compared to his usual circumstances. Seem pretty straightforward to me. What's this about having to touch him and finish?
You frown.
Dave, what happened to the other pages?
One of the pages? The words come out quickly. Your heart sinks.
They were all sitting next to each other on my desk.
You can feel yourself starting to get upset. Dave is silent. For a little too long.
Jade, when I found you, your room was ransacked. I found that piece of paper under your desk.
They killed me here?
You will.
Okay, I suddenly understand less than anything.
Dave lets you go, stepping back to rub the bridge of his nose.
Jade, you knew someone was going to kill you?
You jump up, reaching out to him.
No, I mean, I didn't think they would go that far. I mean, I guess I knew it was a possibility, but that's why I... Dave, come back!
Dave is walking quickly out of the room. No, you're messing everything up. You need to talk to him. You take another few steps after and stumble. So cold. You need... A hand slaps around your arm and your head clears.
I need to talk to you,
Carcat says. Your name is Carcat Vantus, and if you were smart, you just take the lousy money and run. If you were smart, you take the opportunity of this lover's quarrel to just fuck the fuck off. And if you were even smarter, you'd never look back, but smart was never your area of expertise.
Tell me how or why you know my birth fucking name right fucking now!
She turns to you. Big green eyes, wetting glassy tears, clumping her lower lashes. Oh no, screw that. You aren't some sucker who's falling for the goddamn puppy dog eyes.
You don't recognize me?
She says. You frown. Why would you... A flash of a memory. Dark, wild hair and a bucktooth smile. A locket being pressed into your hands. You hesitate. No. Her eyes were blue. One of the tears escapes the jungle of her lashes tracking down her cheek.
We made a promise a long time ago. I thought that was why you...
She presses her hands to her face, letting out a hiccup of a sob.
Oh no, what have I done?
There is a weird pit in your stomach and it won't go away. You awkwardly find yourself patting her arm. God, what the fuck are you doing?
It can't be her, can it?
There's a distant crash. Jade's head whips around.
Oh no, Dave!
She looks at you, anxiety written across her face.
I'm sorry, can we...
You exhale heavily.
Fuck! Fine! Let's go!
2 days, 15 hours, 59 minutes, and 8 seconds. Two people burst into your office to find you standing with your bleeding fist in your hand. Their eyes go first to your fist, and then to the wall you just punched a hole in.
Sup!
You say. Jade frowns at you, then approaches, gently putting her fingers over yours. You feel something inside you break all over again, and you're not talking about your hand. You look past your hands over her shoulder at the guy with his hands on her shoulder.
So I see you've brought your portable human battery with you. Is that like a permanent thing now?
Do we gotta hash this all out in front of him? When we abscond overseas, fleeing the zombie rumors and the actual murderers who actually murdered you on purpose? Are we bringing him with you as, like, your permanent arm candy or whatever? Is he gonna have to watch you shit? Do you even shit now? Are you, like, alive? Alive or, like, zombie alive or, like, some secret third option? Does he get to be Little Spoon? Or can he be the jetpack? Because I'll say right now, I am not giving up Little Spoon privileges unless I'm given a real convincing argument.
Holy fuck, just kill me now. The blood wielder groans, slapping the hand that isn't gruffing your fiance. Say's shoulder over his face. You turn back to Jade.
Is that an option, or would you die too?
Only cut if you can't kill him, and not just because I would die too.
Jade pounces, and it's the cutest thing ever. And you feel just the tiniest bit better.
Okay, fine. I was just making a totally hilarious joke that everyone found funny. See, look at that grin on his face.
You point at the blood wheeler, and the vein already popping in his forehead gets comical.
Strider. I would have to write a tome so back-breakingly weighty as to murder a small creature on impact just to come close to explaining how fucked it is to threaten the only person standing between your wife and her untimely re-death.
He growls.
Yeah, see, that's what I want to know. How do I get you out from between her anything? Because if it wasn't clear, that's kind of my bag. You think I want to be stuck like this either? This wasn't even remotely my idea. Out of the three of us, I am the least culpable for this situation, and yet somehow I'm the one getting threatened.
That's funny coming from a guy who just—
Both of you shut up!
Jade shouts, and you shut up. She jabs a finger into your chest.
Dave, stop being mad at Carcat. This is all my fault. I assumed that if the two of you brought me back, you both would know what the price was, but I was horribly, horribly wrong about that.
Her lip wobbles, tears starting to form in her eyes. Oh no, you're such a sucker for the puppy dog eyes.
I thought in, like, the super unlikely scenario where something bad happened to me, that once you read my message, you might try to find Carcat and take some time to get to know each other, and then if you liked each other enough, then maybe you'd...
She covers her face with her hands.
Now it's all ruined, and I'm so, so stupid.
Don't say that.
You and the blunt wielder say at the same time you glare at him. You don't know if you can tell through your shades. But it's the thought that counts.
What do you mean, if we liked each other enough?
The blood wielder says. Oh, yeah, that.
It's a love spell.
Jade whispers.
What?
The blood wielder says flatly.
You're supposed to bring me back together. The end of the spell is intimate.
You and him stare at her harder.
I thought you would know. It was all explained on the last page.
Jade wails.
But how did you even come up with any of this?
The blood wielder demands.
How did you even know about this insane blood wielder resurrection bullshit when even I didn't know about it?
I stole my grandfather's research from the hospital.
The blood wielder's posture shifts.
GG?
He says. She lowers her hands from her face to look at him.
Oh my gosh, you do remember.
The blood wielder's hand flies to his neck. Staring at her intently, he pulls a necklace out of his shirt.
If that's you, tell me what is inside here.
She inhales through her nose, mouth parting slightly.
A lockpick.
She breathes. The blood wielder drops the chain. For the first time ever, you see his brow smooth. He looks like he just got injected with a serum containing the magic of Christmas or something. He bundles her into his arms.
Holy shit, it is you!
Jade wraps her arms around him and bawls. They hold each other like they're at the end of the play when the romantic leads finally reunite after suffering an entire play's worth of nightmares. His face fits perfectly into the crook of her neck, her cheek resting on the pillowy mop of his hair. His big arms wrapped around her look snuggly and comforting. She looks comforted. You immediately want to punch him in the face.
Okay, what is this? Is this some blood wielder thing? Were you lovers in a past life or something? What am I missing?
You shove your face, punching hands in your pockets, and fight back the wince as your bloody knuckles scrape against the fabric. No jealous face punching here. The coolest jealous fiancé, it is you. She pulls back from him, rubbing her face and sniffling.
Dave, do you remember me telling you about a boy I knew growing up?
The boy in the hospital? Your one and only childhood friend? The one you helped to escape from a life of scientific experimentation, like letting a circus monkey loose in the forest? Who I just worked out with this guy as I was talking, but still kind of felt like I had to finish what I was saying.
She bites her lip, a smile wobbling onto her face.
Yep.
And at the time, I said that was kind of dumb, because, like, how is a sickly teen with no life experiences going to make it in a mid-sized island city on his own when all he knows how to do is juggle and wear tiny circus hats? But he sure is here and alive, I guess, so boy, is there egg on my face about that. You turn to him. We should probably start over? The scowl had returned to Karkat's face by the time you finished talking. You proffer a hand. He stares at it like it's covered in shit. Gigi, what kind of torture tactics did they put you through to make you agree to be saddled with this asswipe for the rest of your miserable life?
All right, never mind, fuck you too, you say, turning your handshake with thumbs up.
Speaking of which, how long have we been talking here, Jade? CNN's childhood best friend here seems likely on board for mission to save my fiancé's life.
Don't choke, Strider. I am regrettably fully invested now, yes.
Choke on what? That enormous bag of cash. I paid you like it was no big deal.
Where'd that go, by the way?
Fuck no, and for your information, I have stored it somewhere safe, and am not going to be giving it back.
Great, just make sure you had enough pocket change to make it home after we wrap this up.
About that, Jade cuts in.
Oh, fuck, what now?
Karkat groans. If you want to keep me alive, which is still optional, by the way, I won't end up any deader than I already was, so it's fine. This would kind of have to be, like, a long-term arrangement?
Her face does the cringe where her brows come together and her nose wrinkles up that makes you want to kiss the end of it.
Again, this was all—
Explain on the last page of the fucking spell thing. Fuck.
Karkat finishes. You stand there not having conflicting emotions about this and watch Karkat grapple with his, face going on a wild, tooth-bearing journey and finally settling on an expression that you can only conclude might just be constipation. Jade's eyes widen, apparently reading more into this than you can.
Want to do it?
Obviously!
He explodes, throwing his hands up.
Fuck it! It's not like I have anywhere better to be, considering that, thanks to a certain someone, I am now effectively homeless. If Strider isn't too far up his entitled rich boy ass to tolerate whatever fuckery you just signed us up for, then, well, I'd really rather not see you die when I just found you again.
Jade grins at him excitedly, squeezing his arms, then turns her wide eyes to you. You shrunk.
Seems like about the only thing Vandis and I actually agree on is that you're not going back to dying, so lay it on us. What else are we in for?
Jade looks at you, and then at Karkat, who nods tersely. She draws in a big breath and pauses.
Actually, maybe it would be safest if I tell you and write it down.
Karkat. Karkat lunges forwards, putting his hand back on your shoulder.
Shit, sorry.
It's fine.
You give him a reassuring smile when he glances at your lips. A kind of awareness in his gaze that wasn't there before. An awareness of things to come. Exciting things. Things that you're looking forward to. And oh boy, you're getting ahead of yourself. You turn back to Dave.
Ready, Dave?
Yeah, okay, yeah. No problem.
He stands facing you, holding page two of the spell on the large needle, fidgeting in an adorably nervous way. You see him visibly swallow. Then all at once he begins.
Blood and bond that binds us to life, hear my call to you. Wielder of blood's bonds, hear my call to you. I, Dave Strider, call to you. Jade Harley, by the power of our blood, by the power of our bond, by the power of our life, we call to you. Hear this with the heat of my heart and the blood of my body.
Dave stabs the needle into his index finger.
I, Dave Strider.
You bare your neck. And he drags his finger across your throat. Bond myself to you, Jade Harley, and give you life. Nothing happens for an awkward moment. Dave raises an eyebrow at you. You open your mouth to speak and gasp as the creeping chill in your bones is blasted away, replaced by exquisite heat. Your precious Dave, object of your years-long obsession, stands before you, radiating that heat around him like a glowing aura. There he is, your love, your light, your life.
That's definitely Warwick.
You breathe. You cannot stand to be separated for another second. You go to him. He catches you in his arms like the beginning of a dance. Your favorite dance, one you have danced with him a million times.
Now why don't you show me how much you missed me? He tilts his head, and the warmth rushes into you from his lips like mulled cider on the coldest day of winter. You moan, you need more, you jump, wrapping your legs around his waist. He staggers, then rights himself, grabbing your thighs and carrying you out of the center of the room. He sets you down on a soft surface, and you drag him down with you, refusing to let a single centimeter come between you for an instant.
Are you sure you really need me here for this part?
That voice. It is wrong to have it be so far away, you think, but your love is licking into your mouth and you can't think. His hands touching you, grounding you, surrounding you, knees bracketing you, and you feel so whole, so right, so alive.
I'm just going to come back later.
Even farther away, the rattle of a door handle accompanies that voice, and that isn't right. But your love brushes his hands off your breasts, and you cry out, you need more, you need him closer. Let me feel you. Tucking the buttons of his shirt open with impatience, he helps you pull the shirt off his mouth, never leaving yours the whole time the door shuts. Then opens again.
Shit, never mind, Strider, someone is coming!
The voice hisses. Your love turns his head away from you and you whine, running your hands down the muscles of his back, kissing at his jaw and neck.
More!
You demand.
Who?
He says, voice rough.
How should I know? Two older people? Blonde?
Shit. Your love pulls away, and you make a noise of dismay, grabbing at his arm as he stands. He turns back to you, placing his hand on yours, but resists your tugging to pull him back down, albeit not well. You are stronger than him.
Jake, we gotta hide you,
he says.
Hide her where?
The voice demands. Your love reaches down, and you sit up and press your mouth against his, and he groans, his arms sliding underneath you, and then he's lifting you up like a bride on your wedding night. You kiss him insistently, your body burning with his warmth, but it's not enough, not enough. He stumbles with you in his arms as you suck his lip into your mouth.
God fucking damn it, Strider, hurry up!
The voice is closer now, almost close enough to be right. He's touching your love's arm, steadying him. Your love tears his mouth away from yours again, panting heavily.
I'm sorry, Jape, we gotta wait a little longer. You can do that, can't you? You're like hella patient compared to me.
You try to kiss him again.
You're gonna have to take her,
man. He groans.
What? Take her where?
You are thrust against another body, and you gasp at the rightness of it. Yes, your other love. You remember, and oh, he's so grown and handsome and warm.
Your name is Carcat Fantas, and a shirtless man is bundling his beautiful fiancée into your arms, and said beautiful fiancée is trying to shove her tongue in your mouth, a thing you have thought about her doing since you were 13. You almost forget why you have to stop her.
No, fuck, you can do this. God damn it, Gigi, get your spell-drunk ass under control. We have a fucking situation here. Strider, where am I going?
Shit, under here.
The fucking idiot points under his desk. You glare.
No way in fucking...
Dave, dear, are you in there?
Shit.
You hustle, Gigi.
Dave. Around the big, pretentious-ass middle-of-the-room desk and deposit her feet on the ground. She starts trying to take your shirt off, and you have to put your hand on top of her head and shove to get her to duck down. Great, now she's trying to take your pants off.
You too.
Strider points under the desk and looks at you. He cannot be fucking serious.
Davey?
The door handle turns, and he keeps pointing. You shoot him a venomous look and crawl under there, pulling her with you. Strider sits down in his chair to the sound of the door hitting the far wall.
Davey, my little Davey, there you are!
Hey, Mom?
It is very cramped under here, and Dave scoots his chair forward, making it even worse. Jade is basically on top of you, looking at you with hazy, glowing eyes and kiss-bitten lips and intention you swallow.
Why, Davey, dear, we were looking all over for you. You missed the reception, and I was so worried. Everyone there was asking after you, and I just couldn't imagine where else in the world you could possibly be.
Funny, I could have sworn I told someone to tell you I was ditching, or missing that.
Oh, did you, honey, did he? I'm sorry, Davey, you know I have a terrible memory sometimes, and with all the hubbub arranging the funeral, I've just been so scatterbrained lately.
Jade leans in, looking at you through her lashes, and you start to panic because your willpower is only so strong. It's not your fault, Dave can't blame you. This was technically part of the plan, and besides, there's nowhere you can go. There's a small smirk on her face as she pauses and starts to unbutton your shirt. Dave clears his throat.
Don't, worry about it.
Like you said, you were busy. Hey, speaking of busy, it's like 1:15 in the morning right now, and I kind of still have some more work to do tonight. Is there, like, a reason the two of you are here?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I was starting to fret because Roxy dear is going to be here tomorrow, and you and she are supposed to get dinner together, and it would be so terrible for you to forget, and it would be all my fault for not reminding you, but then we couldn't find you all day. So then Broderick suggested that we might find you at night. Isn't that clever? And here you are.
Jade gets your shirt unbuttoned and pulls it open. It feels like the air between you is electrified. She leans down and licks a strap of your chest. Her impish little smirk widens as she sees you, Job. You clap your hands over your mouth before your groan can escape. Dave groans instead.
Mom, we talked about this. She's my cousin. You can't set us up. I don't care if you arranged our marriage at 3 months or whatever.
Oh, but Davey, wouldn't it be nice to have someone your own age to comfort you?
Jade's tongue makes a lazy circle, then starts to travel further south. You shudder. Not fucking daring to move your hands from your mouth, she bites at one of your hip bones, a nip that jerks your hips forwards. You make a quiet, strangled noise. Dave's foot comes crashing between you, pushing you apart.
Okay, not cool. They sound like I went through a bad breakup, Mom. I'm fucking grieving. They put Jade's ass in the ground not even 48 hours ago. Fucking sue me if I comfort myself for once.
Language, Davey.
Wow, like you actually give a shit. I'm an adult man in my own goddamn home at 1:16 in the fucking morning, and my fiancé just died. Shit!
The woman gasps audibly. Jade starts inching her hand up your thigh.
As if that's any excuse. Tell him, darling.
There's silence up above. Jade pops the button on your pants, glowing eyes peering at you over Dave's legs. Fuck, 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 fuck. You bite the inside of your cheek, bloody trying to stay silent. Dave sighs.
Okay, yeah, bro, you're right. Mom, I'm...
Dave makes a weird noise. Somewhere between a grunt and a groan.
Davey, is everything all right?
You glance past Dave's knees. Jade has snuck her other hand between his legs.
You're looking a bit peaked, dear. Are you feeling okay?
Mom, I'm fine. Stay over there.
Oh, now I have to come over there. What's wrong? Are you injured?
No, I...
Jade squeezes your dick and presumably Stratus as well. Fuck, that one was you.
Is someone there?
Oh, shit, she heard you. Dave's legs retreat.
Whoa, why would you say that? That super weird noise? That was a loose spring. I really gotta get rid of this old chair. You know, it's falling apart. You'd think with all the money we have, we'd buy things that last, but this piece is garbage. Barely made it a year and some change. No, really, Mom, just stay over there. You don't gotta see it. I've got a real bad feet stank right now. I don't want you to have to... shit.
You make the executive decision that letting his parents catch one of you is better than both and crawl out from under the desk.
Hello,
you say as you stand, and then stall out from there as you see their faces. Mrs. Strider is a taller, well-figured woman in heavy makeup and full, sparkling evening attire. She stops short halfway around the desk as she sees you emerge, clutching at the pearls around her neck. Dave's father stands further back, his brows raising over a pair of distinctive glasses. They stare at you like Bigfoot just crawled out from under the desk. You stare at them right back. Shit, 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 shit. You recognize them. Mr. Strider smirks and it chills you to the bone. You stand there frozen as he steps forwards. He puts his hand on his wife's arm. Roxanne, it's late. Let's leave little man to comfort himself. Roxanne Strider's eyes take a moment to catch up with her face as she turns away from you to look at him.
All right.
She lets herself be pulled away, only stopping as she nears the door.
Oh, but don't forget about dinner tomorrow, Davey, dear. Good night. Sweet dreams.
Yeah, sure. Good night,
Dave says, sounding strangled. The door closes. You continue staring at it. There's a high-pitched ringing in your ears. Well, that could have gone worse, Dave says with a heavy exhale. It feels distant, like you're hearing him underwater.
Hey, Jade, how you doing under there?
Kiss me.
Hell yeah.
Can't think of a reason to say no to that.
You sit on the edge of the desk and start hyperventilating. 2 days, 15 hours, 39 minutes and 8 seconds, and Jade, with her lips on yours, flinches and turns her head.
Carcat?
she says, the glow fading from her eyes. After a twinge of irritation, you look up and, oh yeah, no, that's not good. The man looks like he just saw a ghost, or like got jump scared by a ghost, or maybe got threatened by a ghost. Point is, the man looks haunted. They found me, he says, in between quick intakes of breath. Oh God, they finally found me. He raises an eyebrow. Why are you the one getting spun up about my parents thinking we're homo?
Shh, Dave, I don't think that's it.
Jade crawls over there and puts her hands on your knees.
Cat, what are you talking about?
It takes him several breaths to get the words out.
The hospital.
The hot sting of guilt zaps you directly in the chest as you realize exactly what he means. You lean forwards onto the desk, threading your hands through your hair.
Ah, oh, shit.
You completely forgot your parents worked there. Jade makes a heartbroken noise.
Oh no, Carcat, I'm so sorry. You're in danger again all because of me. Dave, we can fix this, right? You have a plan for getting us out of here, right?
That's right. You sit up. You fucked up. But you can still fix this, all of this.
We just have to get to the docks. You hear that, Carcat? We just have to make it to the docks. You can do that, right?
Carcat's breathing slows to big, shaky breaths. He wipes his brow with the cuff of his shirt. Jade watches him, her eyebrows pinched with concern.
Do you think you can get up?
He exhales one last time, holds it, then lets it out slow and nods.
Yeah.
You stand.
Everything we need's already on the boat. Let's bounce.
Employing an appropriate abundance of caution, shouldn't you head out the old way? Climbing down the terrace outside of your bedroom window, Carcat follows your lead, and Jade brings up the rear. You hold your arms out in case she falls, but she scampers down just as easily as you and Carcat did, even wearing his long cloak.
I knew those climbing lessons weren't for nothing. A deep voice rasps, your pulse jumps into your throat.
Do you turn around quickly? Stepping in front of Jade as she pulls the hood further over her face.
Bro, what are you doing here?
Out for a stroll?
He takes a step forward. You stand your ground, heart racing. He watches you for a moment, then steps past you towards Carcat.
Real party you got here. How'd you meet your friend?
Carcat backs up a step. You see the whites of his eyes in the dark like a cornered animal.
Mutual acquaintance?
You say.
Ain't that right?
Bro takes another step forward, and it's too close. Carcat, without hesitation, throws a jab at his face. Bro catches it with one hand and plucks the locket off of Carcat's chest with the other.
Better be careful tonight. Word is, there's a dangerously ill man out on the streets. Got that real contagious blood disease. The city guard is looking everywhere.
There's a click as he pops the locket open, flipping out a small, twisted piece of metal.
Best to stay inside. Wouldn't want to catch anything.
Get the fuck off me!
Carcat shouts, at the same time as you and Jade both step forwards. Bro turns and looks straight at Jade. He barks a laugh. You lunge. By the time you reach him, he's gone. And Carcat has a thin cut along his cheekbone, bleeding green.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, Carcat, are you okay?
You reach out tentatively to touch his face, wincing.
Oh no, you're bleeding!
I'm fine, Gigi, let's just get out of here,
he says, brushing you off. Dave nods.
He's right, I don't know what game bro's playing, but we need to go.
You press your lips together and nod.
Okay.
You pull the hood of Carcat's cloak further over your face and then reach out to both of them. They take your hands, and you feel a burst of strength. Together, you can do this. You take off running. 2 days. 15 hours, 26 minutes, and 1 second. And Jade is goddamn fast as a zombie. She grips your hands tightly, and that's about the only thing keeping you at pace with her. Lungs burning, most of your focus invested in fighting to keep your legs under you. The only saving grace to your pride is that on Jade's other side, Carcat doesn't seem to be faring any better. You see the wavering glow of handheld lights up ahead.
This way!
Carcat gasps, pointing down a narrow alleyway. The three of you squeeze into the gap, stumbling over trash in the dark. Carcat shushes you as you knock over a particularly clangorous piece of debris.
Sorry, shit's dark back here,
you mutter. Jade's grip pulls you deeper, following Carcat's lead. How the hell he seems to know where to go in the winding maze of alleyways, you have no idea. You just go back to focusing on your feet. Dave and Jade bunch up behind you as you come to an abrupt stop at the alley exit onto Canal Street.
Whoosh!
You spare Dave a backwards glance, peering around the corner.
They blockaded the bridge,
Jade peeks over your shoulder.
Is there any other way over there?
She whispers.
Not that isn't just as likely to be blocked,
he replies, sighing.
God damn it, this whole thing was doomed from the start, wasn't it?
Nah, I got this, Dave says. You feel Jade shift behind you and look back to see Dave squeezing past her.
What do you think you're doing? You hiss.
He stops next to you just inside the alley. It's barely shoulder width between the buildings, so he's basically pressing you into the wall to look past you. You resist the urge to shove him off you.
Only three? Oh, dude, we're so in.
What does that mean? Wait, what? Dave!
Dave steps out into the open street, smoothing his hair. It takes a minute for them to notice him, but when they do, all three guards go on high alert. One raises his lantern as the other two pull out their batons.
Morning, gentlemen,
Dave says, strolling up to them.
Uh-oh,
Jade says in your ear. You grimace at her in agreement. You can mostly hear what they're saying from this distance in the nighttime quiet.
Halt, this area is under quarantine.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah, me and my family are like witnesses and shit.
The guard narrows his eyes.
Name?
Dave Strider.
The guards all relax.
Oh, Mr. Strider, sir, you're out late. What can we do for you?
I got some friends who, like, don't want to be involved in all this, you know? I don't want to interfere with all the good work you're doing here, but do you think you could let me take them home?
One of the guards with the batons furrows his brow.
But it's a quarantine.
Shut up, Rob.
The lantern guard interrupts.
Yes, sir. That would be no problem.
Dave tips his head.
I appreciate that.
He turns and waves you over with a smirk. That snake charming son of a bitch. Jade grins brightly at you.
Wow, this is great. Come on.
She brushes past you, pulling you over to join Dave at the bridge. The two armed guards look reluctant to be putting away their batons.
Have a good evening, gentlemen,
Dave says, putting his arm around Jade's shoulder to usher her through. The guard with the lantern puts a hand on Dave's chest.
Ah, just one more thing, sir. Do you mind if we do a quick blood test? It's just protocol, you understand.
You stiffen. Great, just fucking great. And now you're out in the open because Dave's blown your cover. Dave sighs, and you double take. Because his face is actually emoting, he sneers, looking down his nose at them.
Come on, is that really necessary? It's late, trust me. Neither of these are your guy. I would know.
He makes to keep going. And the guard takes another step in front of him.
My apologies, sir, but the captain will have my head if we don't.
Not my problem,
Dave says, taking another step. One of the other guards draws his baton.
Now don't make us use force, Richling.
Well, now I'm offended,
Dave says. He turns and socks the lantern-holding guard in the face.
You cocky piece of shit,
you swear. You turn, ducking under a baton swing aimed at your head.
You really thought they'd just let us through?
Hey, in my defense, they almost did. Can't blame me for trying.
I can, and I will.
You raise your arms, facing off against this guy and his baton. If he gives you a good opening, you're beating the shit out of him.
Dave, Carcat!
Jade whimpers. You whirl. The third guard has his baton around Jade's neck, holding it with his elbow so he can jam a blood test into her neck. He squints at it and shakes it as she starts to go limp in his hold. Shit. You both left her alone in the commotion. A baton cracks you in the back, sending a shooting pain down your arm. You swear and round on him.
Do that again, and I'll shove that shit so far up your ass you'll taste it, cockroach!
You grab the baton and start trying to wrestle it from him. Meanwhile, Dave appears to be facing off two against one. He looks at you as he ducks under a flailing lantern swing.
Cockhead, she needs!
I know, I'm working on it!
Holding the wrong end of the baton, you get the guard swung around and then push him in Jade's direction. He stumbles backwards, tripping over her torso and catching himself on the stone half-wall side of the bridge.
Carcat!
Dave says again, this time significantly more irritated.
She's fucking fine!
You assure him, ducking down and quickly grabbing Jade's hand. She opens her eyes in a flare of green that quickly dims as she takes in the chaos. You pull her to her feet as the guard rounds on you again. Shit, he's swinging the baton right at your...
Carcat!
You wail. As the guard whacks him in the head, he staggers into you, slumping against your shoulder. A burning rage fills you as you realize he has been knocked unconscious. You turn on the guard. His expression of victory falls as he sees your face.
You hurt him!
Clutching Carcat to your chest, you charge forwards. Grabbing the guard by the front of his shirt, he cries out as you lift him effortlessly into the air.
Do not touch what is mine!
You walk towards the end of the bridge.
No, I'm sorry, please!
The guard grabs your hand, his feet kicking to try to stop you from lifting him over the wall. With an angry roar, you toss him. His shoes fly off as he tumbles through the air before splashing into the canal. You turn towards Dave. The other guards have stopped fighting, staring at you with some kind of reverent horror. They stagger back a few steps as you approach. You hold out your hand to Dave.
Dave, let's go.
They do not follow as you walk away. 0 days, 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 25 seconds. Your boat rocks calmly on gentle waves. The rocking on the interior of the boat is not so gentle.
Say it, asshole!
Naked on the bed, you fight a losing battle to keep the chaos these two are bringing down on you in proper rhythm. Jade's hips buck wildly. Hair in her eyes as she looks at you through a tangle of dark locks, hands clasped with yours. Panting against your collarbone, already littered with stinging hickeys, goddamn, you love her like, whoa.
Dave,
she prompts, and it's a warning, a threat, and you almost come right then and there. You clamp down on the urge. You can't, not yet.
Dave.
Okay. Jade, Harley, you trail off. It's not time, it's too soon. Carcat groans, knocking his forehead into Jade's bare shoulder, his hip thrusting into her, starting to get choppy.
Hurry the fuck up, Dave!
Jade narrows her glowing green eyes at you.
Are you really going to keep me waiting?
0 days, 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 4 seconds will have to do.
Except from us, this bond, this blood, and this life.
Her grin is bright and triumphant as the blazing sun.
I do!
You grin lopsidedly at her, light as a feather and dumb with joy.
Hallelujah!
Your heart gives a heavy pulse, and your mouth drops open silently, every inch of your skin throbbing with it. The spell takes hold like a coiled beast unleashed. Jade arches, and Carcat distantly cries out, and suddenly you can feel both of them. You are launched straight over the tipping point. Orgasm rocks you like never before. You tremble with it. Waves and waves that start inside her and wash all the way out through every artery inside you and inside Jade and inside Carcat. You and Carcat cling for dear life as Jade above you writhes incandescently. Every movement from her and him echoes through you over and over and over. Oh, fuck. Is this one orgasm or three or 10? How long has this been going on?
In the small cabin of a sailboat, rocking calmly on gentle waves, you lose count. The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. The link is available in the description. The music is Rihanna Made by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like the narrator to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with her using the contact information available on her website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories she's read, her Discord server, and ways to support what she does. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.